As we go through our everyday lives, juggling between work, school, or family, we don't expect our daily routines to be interrupted by a horrific discovery. One involving the gruesome details behind a sudden disappearance and a baffling murder. But that's exactly what happened to a crew of utility workers in Redlands, California, who unexpectedly found half the answers to a missing person case in the unlikeliest of places. This is a special mystery episode of They Disappeared. What lies beneath? Our mystery begins on September 28, 1998, on a cool afternoon in Redlands, California. On that day, a utility crew from Redlands Sewer Collection Systems had been dispatched to clear a clogged sewer drain. One of those workers, John Vindiola, was going through his regular routine, using a small pronged rake to reach into the narrow pipe and start pulling out debris. It was early in the project that he found something unexpected stuck to the end of his rake. Sitting among the leaves and sticks he would usually find clogging a city drain was a partial piece of a human skull. It wasn't intact, but there was enough of it left to leave no doubt as to what he had just discovered. Soon, more bones came washing down the pipe that had collected in the drain. And now that crew, just there to complete a routine job, found themselves calling police, who upon their arrival would tape off their worksite, which was now a crime scene. Investigators on the scene, Detectives Daniel Elton and Richard Dysart of the Redlands Police Department, examined the discovery. At first, they thought this may have been pieces belonging to a discarded medical skeleton. However, that possibility was eliminated quickly by the absence of any mechanical parts or drilled holes in any of the jointed areas those parts would be located. Looking for the source of the discovery, detectives asked the utility workers to follow that specific drain line uphill and pull manhole covers leading toward its origination spot, where no other objects could enter that specific sewer vault. As the workers pulled the manholes, they continued to find small bones on the side rails of the sewer line. It was at the very end of the sewer line located in a cul-de-sac that detectives discovered the last of the bones which contained the most significant evidence they would find in this mystery. Stuck on a ledge underneath the manhole was a jawbone, with the teeth still inside of it. If it hadn't been stuck there, they likely never would have found it. The bones were sent to the coroner's office in San Bernardino County for examination. At the conclusion of their review, the office sent their initial findings back to detectives. They could not determine a cause of death, but they had determined these were the remains of someone between the ages of 13 to 17 years old. An unknown teenager who somehow ended up in a closed sewer drain and had been there for God knows how long. Shortly after the discovery, local radio and news stations in and around the Redlands area picked up the story, with one morning show host telling his listeners, "I've heard of skeletons in the closet, but skeletons in the sewer? Here in Redlands? That's right. Remains have been found, and they don't think it's an animal. It could be human." One of those listeners, Sally Bell, immediately got a sinking feeling as she heard the story on her morning commute. Her nephew, a 14-year-old named Tristan Jensen, who had not been seen since August 11th after walking out of his home in Redlands just 7 weeks prior. But despite that uneasy feeling, it couldn't be Tristan they pulled out of that sewer, could it? Tristan hadn't been gone long enough for it to be him. After all, they had found bones, not a body. So it couldn't be him, right? Sally and the rest of her family would soon find out. Tristan Tyson Jensen was born in Los Angeles County, California, on June 23rd of 1984 to Donald and Susan Jensen. At a young age, he experienced a tragedy that no child should ever have to go through, the loss of his mother. In 1992, when he was just 4 years old, Tristan's mother, Susan, passed away after a drawn-out battle with cancer. From then on, Tristan was raised by his maternal grandmother, Betty Simon, but he also spent considerable time with Sally Bell and her two sons. Tristan was described as popular in school and had no enemies to speak of. It was on August 11th of 1998 that Tristan, wanting to try out his new skateboard, got into an argument with his grandmother, who wanted him to do chores first. Frustrated and angry, Tristan grabbed his skateboard and left, and his family never saw him again. Nearly 7 weeks later, after removing a skeleton from a Redland sewer, detectives assigned to the case got their first big break. Near the recovery site, authorities spotted a missing persons poster for Tristan. Wanting to eliminate him as a possibility, detectives visited Tristan's grandmother Betty to collect any item that may contain his DNA, which they got from a baby tooth Betty had kept from him. The tooth was sent to a lab for DNA analysis to compare to the DNA from the recovered skeleton. All they could do now was wait. Meanwhile, back at the cul-de-sac where investigators discovered the jawbone, they were approached by a teenage boy who provided them with a potential lead. According to the teen, weeks earlier he had spotted a van parked in the street and saw one of the occupants attempting to remove the manhole cover. He described the individuals as Hispanic and indicated that they left after putting something down the manhole. Police went door to door in the immediate area to corroborate the lead. None of the residents indicated that they'd seen a van. However, nearly all the homeowners they spoke to identified J.P. Remsen, a troubled local teen, as someone they had seen multiple times over the past year messing with the manhole covers and dropping fireworks into the sewer vaults. When authorities asked neighbors where J.P. Remsen lived, they all pointed to the same house the teen boy who had provided the tip. Police went to the Remsen home to speak with J.P. They met with J.P.'s dad, John, who indicated J.P. was at school. Police noted that at the time they spoke with John Remsen, there was a box full of hunting knives near the front door. When they returned to interview J.P. later that same day, the box of knives was gone. It was a detail they immediately took note of. Speaking with J.P. a second time, detectives asked him if he knew Tristan Jensen, since that was the only other potential lead they were working with. J.P. stated that he didn't know who Tristan was, but his behavior and body language seemed to indicate otherwise. Authorities left the Remsen home, convinced they would need to return. And they would return and find even more than they could have ever possibly imagined. When DNA analysis was completed on the skeletal remains found in the sewer, it came back as a match to Tristan Jensen. It was a sad and stunning development. They had solved half of a missing persons case. Now they needed to determine how he ended up in a sewer, who put him there, and why. It was puzzling for detectives that in less than 7 weeks, all that was left of Tristan was bone. There was no tissue remaining, meaning something had accelerated the decomposition process. According to utility workers familiar with the sewer vaults, most of those sewer lines are used to collect household and industrial runoff, most of which contains corrosive cleaners and abrasives. Due to the lack of any other elements in the sewer vaults, they essentially become an environment of corrosive liquids and gas, which quadruples the speed in which a natural decomposition event would likely occur. Investigators also discovered that J.P. Remsen had lied when he said he didn't know who Tristan was, learning that they not only attended the same school, but were even in some of the same classes. In fact, the two teens had gotten into a dispute at school involving a girl. Now armed with a warrant, authorities returned to the Remsen home. Almost immediately, Investigators found numerous areas in the home where blood stains and spatter were clearly visible, on the walls and baseboards of a staircase. They also found a large pool of blood on the floor of the garage. However, another discovery in the garage halted their search. As it turned out, the Remsons had enough explosives in their garage to level an entire city block. Fearing for their safety, investigators had to evacuate the home. In an effort to save the crime scene, authorities evacuated the neighborhood and cordoned off a five-block radius around the Remsen property. Among the explosives bomb squad personnel identified was nitroglycerin, which had crystallized and had become unstable over time. The bomb squad also discovered an ice chest full of Kinepak, plastic tubes used to hold ammonium nitrate, which is part of a two-piece binary explosive, which when introduced to each other becomes dynamite. Determining the explosives were too unstable to safely remove from the home, authorities dug a hole in the yard to create a makeshift bunker which would allow the bomb squad to safely detonate the explosives without harming residents or losing key evidence in the home. All across town, explosions erupted in the Redlands neighborhood. In total, authorities recovered and detonated over 1,000 pounds of explosive material from the Remsen home before they could safely re-enter and collect critical blood evidence. Police arrested both of JP's parents, John and Susan Remsen, and charged them with multiple felonies, including child endangerment, possession of explosives and explosive devices, and automatic weapons. Meanwhile, the blood evidence in the home suggested a violent encounter from the upstairs to the garage. JP Remsen was interviewed again by authorities, who noted that although JP was only 15 years old, he was 6 feet tall and weighed nearly 270 pounds, significantly larger than Tristan Jensen. JP continued to deny any involvement in Tristan's disappearance and death until he finally broke, admitting he killed Tristan in his home. Perhaps even more startling to investigators was JP's recreation of Tristan's murder. Now handcuffed, JP returned to his home and walked authorities to the top of a staircase and described how Tristan had wanted to buy a particular knife from him for $20. The knife, also known as an Arkansas toothpick, was a long and sharp 18-inch blade. Apparently, an argument over the price took place, and Tristan called JP a name. With a knife in his hand, JP says he stabbed Tristan, who immediately went limp. He then stabbed him again with such force the tip of the blade came out through Tristan's back. He died almost instantly. In broad daylight, JP took Tristan's body to the manhole, removed the cover, and disposed of him in the sewer. To explain the bloodstains to his parents, JP told them their dogs had gotten into a fight. Later analysis on the blood in the Remsen home confirmed it was in fact Tristan's. The mystery of Tristan Jensen's disappearance and murder had been solved. Charged with first-degree murder, J.P. Remsen was tried as an adult, and after 6 days of trial, he was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 15 years to life in prison. In 2018, he was denied parole. He is now 38 years old and remains incarcerated at the Kern Valley State Prison in Delano, California. And for society's sake, we hope this monster is never released. JP's father, John Remsen, was sentenced to 2 years in prison on the explosives and weapons charges. He was released after serving his full sentence. He died on August 21, 2016. He remained married to Susan up until the time of his death. She remains in Redlands, California to this day. Tristan's grandmother, Betty Simon, passed away on October 12th of 2018. Living long enough to see JP get denied parole earlier that same year. And that is a story of Tristan Jensen, a popular teen who lost his life at the hands of a classmate and monster, brought to justice by evidence discovered beneath the streets in a sewer vault in Redlands, California. What started as a regular day for regular folks whose daily routines were interrupted by what lies beneath.